I want you to think of it this way. There's an opportunity. It may be a relationship that's not right, especially if there's an emotional relationship that's starting. Let me encourage you to do this. Fast forward the tape. Fast forward the tape in your mind. All right, if this goes to this step, and then what I kind of like to have happen, let's say it does happen. What's the consequences of it? What are the ramifications? What is the price that I have to pay?
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Do you remember the story of Jesus on the seashore following the resurrection? The disciples had fished all night and didn't catch enough to make sushi. Well, Jesus told them to toss their nets on the other side of the boat, and as they did, they caught a ton of fish. Later on, Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Today, Pastor Wayne will show us that through Peter, we can learn what it really means to love Jesus. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, "Do You Love Me?"
Would you take out your notes with me as we continue speaking of the life of Christ and his disciples, entitled The Greatest Life Ever Lived. And we're going to be talking about Peter today and his relationship with Christ. But before we do that, let me just kind of give you the gist or the overview of what we're going to be talking about right at the top. And here it is. When we take polls, or people are polled about what their greatest quest is, the greatest question in life, you know what it is? It's, what is the meaning, the purpose for our existence? I mean, are we just objects that are alive for a season and then decompose and the next one comes up? Do we have any assignment, any purpose beyond what we can see with our physical eyes? And here is the gist and the bottom line, and this is what I want to say to you today. The more of eternity that you can infuse into your daily life and decisions, the more fulfilled you will be. Because the purpose of life for you and me is an eternal purpose, not just a temporal one. But it's easy to get them too separated, and we think that this life is an end in itself, when in actuality, the more of eternity that you can infuse into your daily life, the more fulfilled you will be. Now we're going to unpack that in a little while, but I want you to keep that in your mind. Easter was great. I talked to a bunch of the pastors, the New Hope pastors. Aaron, my son, had over 1,000. Mike Lewin had 400 hands go up. And I even talked with Pastor Elwin, called him up and said, let's see how your Easter went. So we met and had some Jamba Juice together. Now, I got to tell you this. I know he's doing well, because when we bought the Jamba Juice, he, for the first time in my life, he paid for the Jamba Juice. That's really different. He took out his card before I even asked or suggested or offered to pay. He took out a credit card and he gave it to the lady. And then I looked real close. It was a church credit card. And then, this is a true story. We were outside drinking and I was just asking him how things were going. And this is a true story. Within 4 minutes, this homeless man came up. Now, we're both sitting like this looking at each other at a table here. And this guy came up between us towards the back and looked at both of us and said, "Excuse me," he was really kind. He said, "Could one of you spare a dollar?" And I just waited to see what Elwin was going to do. And he just kept looking forward. He didn't glance to the left or to the right. Elwin just stayed there. And I took out a dollar. I said, "Here, this guy's pocket. He won't give you the time of day." So although he's doing good, I know he's still got a long way to go. But Peter was about to miss it completely. Miss his assignment, his identity. You see, Christ had died. He wasn't around anymore. He was in his resurrected state, but Peter just figured, gone. And in John 21, we find Peter defaulting back to a career that he used to know. In fact, let me read it to you. It's out of John chapter 21 and verse 3, where we'll begin. And he says this. Now, Simon Peter said to his other disciples who were with him, "I'm going fishing." And in actuality, in the Greek, it means I'm going back to fishing. Default to my old career. "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We'll come with you as well." And so they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Peter said, I'm going to go back fishing. I mean, Jesus isn't around. There's no accountability. I'm just going to go back to what I know, what I used to do. And all of his buddies said, hey, we're going to go too. Never underestimate who is watching you and who will be influenced by your decision. I remember when Aaron was young, he was about 5 years old. I was on Kauai and we were taking a little break. And I said, Aaron, Dad's going to get up tomorrow early and I'm going to do devotions. And I'm just going to walk along the sand and I'm just going to pray while I'm walking. And he said, Dad, can I come? I said, it's early. He said, that's all right. So the next morning we got up and I was walking on the sand and he was right next to me, just 5 years old. And then he disappeared. I thought, where is he? You know, as I'm walking, I thought, where is he? And as I turned around and looked, he was matching his footprints with mine. And so I thought, oh, that's so cute, you know. So I thought, I'll just kind of, you know, be like a gracious dad. So I just thought, I'll just kind of step it up and just see what he can do. And I turned around and he was just leaping from footprint to footprint. And as I was doing that, the Lord spoke to me and he said, Wayne, he's going to be doing that the rest of his life. So watch how you walk. Don't ever underestimate who's watching you. And more will be caught than taught. Because you're going to teach what you know, but you're going to reproduce what you are. And there's a lot of people watching how you act. Not just what you say, it's how you live. That's the most positively or negatively contagious. And Peter said, well, I'm just going to go back fishing. And everyone said, well, we'll just go with them. Now, what was happening was God had called him to be a fisher of men. He was a fisher of fish, now a fisher of men. Now, he's got an eternal part to his career. Now, please remember this. Your career is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. Let me say that again. Your career is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for. And it's not one or the other. It's both and. Because God gives each of us a career. But here's what I'm saying today. The more eternity you can infuse into your life, the more fulfilled you will be. Because if you split those up and here's your career and there's nothing eternal about it, you will die an unfulfilled person. So what do? Do we leave one for the other? Well, not necessarily. Unless God gives you a strong calling of some kind. But I tell you, the more eternity you infuse here, the more fulfilled you will be. And Peter said, well, I'm just going to go back fishing and sort of leave my calling behind. And he started to lose his identity. Did you know that there is before the legislature right now a bill that says that if you want to be a transgender bisexual, you can actually change your birth certificate now and change your gender? Now, I'm not getting down on anyone for any kind of orientation, but you know what I'm saying through watching that? I'm saying, America, we're losing our identities. We don't know who we are anymore. It's like whatever you want to be. And that's the beginning of the end. And I was looking at that in the church, and we can do that too. We can lose our identity. And we can be going after a career with all our heart and then use God sort of as a bellhop to get us this way. And the Lord is saying, no. I've given you your career. But the more eternity you can infuse into your life. Say, well, what do you mean? Eternity into your voice, the decisions that you make, the activities that you do. Is there anything eternal that you factored into your last week? If you take away church and prayer before meals, is there anything of eternity that's been factored into your life? The words that you've spoken to your spouse or your kids, is there anything eternal? Or is it getting split up? I want to encourage you, even as Jesus came to Peter and he'll be at the seashore calling for Peter to come back and get that back again. I want to do the same thing with you because we can go after our career so much so. And ministers too, they take their calling and make it into a career if we're not careful. But it's just that pull. And you can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. I remember just listening to Ravi Zacharias. He's a theologian, and he tells a story about a guy that was sincere, but sincerely wrong. He was a singer, and there was a funeral, so they paid him $100 to sing at the interment, at the graveside. And although he knew nothing of the deceased, didn't know him at all, he thought $100 is $100. So he said, "I'll sing." Well, the day came, and he punched in the coordinates on his GPS, but no one knows if he punched in the wrong coordinates because he ended up in someplace way down in the rural parts of the country. And he thought, "Well, where am I?" And looking at his watch, only to find out that the time of the graveside service had already passed. He was so late. But down the road, he saw a cemetery. So there it is. So he scoots down there. By the time he gets there, it's a very rural, just a flat cemetery. And the hole was still there. The concrete box with the lid was on. And he got, and everyone was gone already. The only people left were the workers. And they were eating lunch. All the people were gone. And he stood there beside this empty hole and with this concrete thing, and he thought, "Man, they paid me $100. I better sing." So he just starts singing, "Amazing Grace," and he just pours his heart, "How sweet the sound." And then these workers, they just like, "Wow." By the second verse, the workers are standing up with their hats off and they're crying. And he sings, "I once was lost," and they're crying, and pretty soon he's crying. And then he finishes the song and gets in his car and goes home. And one worker turns to the other and he says, "I've never seen anything that's moved me so much and so deeply. And I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years. That kid was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. And we can sometimes think God is saying, "Just go for this, just go for it." But please remember, this life is not an end in itself. It's a means to something far more eternal. Don't forget who you are. And can I just encourage you, the more you can infuse eternity into your everyday life, the more fulfilled you're going to be. Well, Jesus shows up on the shore. He's got some barbecue fish going, and he calls out to the disciples, "Hey, you guys have any fish?" And they say, "We've caught nothing all night." "Well, throw your nets on the other side of the boat." Well, they do. They throw. What do we have to lose? You know, they throw their nets on the other side of the boat. And the Bible said there was such a draft of fish, they couldn't even pull it in. Now, Peter is told by John the Beloved, that's Jesus. Peter jumps in the water and freestyles it to the shore, 100 yards, the length of a football field. He just Olympian swims that thing. And when he arrives, Jesus has fish frying. And it's like he points to the fish. Because remember, Peter went back fishing, his old default. And Jesus is going to challenge him as we slip into the story, but I believe he poignantly challenges us right here in this auditorium. And let's read at the top of our notes together, John 21 and verse 15, as we slide into their conversation. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know I love you.' He said to him, 'Then feed my lambs.'" You see, he was pointing to the fish, "Simon, do you love me more than these?" And Simon said, "Yeah, I do." And Jesus said, "Then there's a lot of people out there that need the gifts that I've given to you. Feed my lambs. Tend the sheep." You see, all of us have been given an eternal assignment inside of us. No, not one from the other, both and. A career, but also an eternal spin on us. Because that's what makes us who we are, right? But there's going to be times that Jesus is going to point and say, "Do you love this more than me?" See, there's fish in our lives. He's going to point to the fish. That fish could be an opportunity to do something, make more, or it could be an opportunity to be in a relationship that may not be the right relationship. And he's going to say, do you love me more than that? The fish could be just a man in the mirror. Prominence, popularity, or maybe just like, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And the Lord's going to say, do you love that more than me? Because God may call us to ministry more than an opportunity, because you have to listen. Now listen very carefully. Are you ready? Not every opportunity is from the Lord. You can get an opportunity for a lot more of whatever, fill in the blank, but it could distance you from your wife. It could distance you from your husband. It could distance you from your faith. But you say, and the Lord says, whoa, 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 whoa. Do you love me more than that? Or is this more important than this? There's choices we have to make, because God is saying, you've got to make sure that you continue to infuse eternity into your everyday life and the decisions that you make, lest it separates you and we go back and the fish pull us. We're going to talk about loving Christ, because in each time he says to Peter, do you love me? Well, here's what we want to do. Now remember, Peter swam in the water, and he's going to talk about love, because that's what keeps us close to anybody. It's love. Or it can pull us away from somebody, a love for something else. So God's going to talk to Peter. So you say, well, Wayne, how do you return that proximity that has been distanced? How do you return that back again? Really easy. I'm going to give you these ways. Would you write it? Number one, here it is. And it's all about love. Number one, would you write down, love makes pleasing Jesus your greatest desire. Love makes pleasing whom? Jesus, your greatest desire. Because you're going to have a lot of desires in life. But you'll be able to tame them all if you make your greatest desire to please Jesus. Because sometimes people say, how do I deal with all these desires? Make your greatest desire to please Jesus. Everything else settles down. I cannot tell you how many times just that one thing has kept me from going over the edge, that I want to serve Jesus more than anything else. Because I'm a red-blooded man just like any of you brothers here, and we're going to get all kinds of temptations and pulls. But here's what I'm going to encourage you to do, and this is what I do. When there's an opportunity, what you think is an opportunity, or something that might be pulling you, like I call it, fish. I want you to think of it this way. There's an opportunity, and it may be a relationship that's not right, or maybe something, opportunity that may be more money but less family, less relationship but more prominence, whatever it might be. What you want to do is this is what I do. When there's, especially if there's a emotional relationship that's starting, this, let me encourage you to do this. Fast forward the tape in your mind. All right, if this goes to this step, and then what I kind of like to have happen, let's say it does happen, and then this happens, and then just keep fast forwarding the tape. And then when this takes place, what's the consequences of it? What are the ramifications? Now, what changes will need to be made in my life? What will happen over here? What is the price that I have to pay? Okay? And then you rewind the tape and now make the decision. You'll make much wiser decisions. Because you see what the enemy, the adversary of your soul does, is he keeps you from seeing the price you have to pay. He just shows you what you can enjoy today. He doesn't show you the price. But what you do is you fast forward the tape. Just fast forward the tape, okay? This goes here, goes there. Will it really work? Is that what I really want to do? And then I rewind the tape, and you know what I say? Nope. I want to serve Jesus more than anything else in my life. I want to please Jesus. That's what I really want in the end. And your decisions will change. So can I encourage you to make the desire to please Jesus as your greatest desire? That's what love is. Let's read what he says to Peter. Would you read it with me? Go. Therefore, that disciple that Jesus loved said, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work. Then he threw himself into the sea, for they were about 100 yards from land. Now you got to remember, that's the length of a football field. You got to swim. And he was so excited to get back near to Jesus that he put on, I can't figure it out. It says he was stripped for work. I don't know. He must have been in his BVDs or something. And so he put on his surf shorts and he just freestyles it. And I thought, wow, the cool thing about Peter's heart is he wanted to get as close as he can to Christ. Distance from the Lord should bother the stuffings out of you. And when you feel that, ooh, we're distanced, we're not that close, do everything you can to get back. Don't let it sit. It will only infect and get worse. It doesn't get better on its own. Your growth in Christ will always be intentional. You do not grow unintentionally. Every inch of your growth in Christ, every depth of your maturity in Christ will be intentional. That's how it is. And Peter put it into action, because you can write in number two, here it is, love is always seen in action. Action. See, a lot of times we as Christians love to talk about it, deliberate about it, debate about it, discuss it, but we never put it into action. And God is saying, love is action. Let's read what he says a second time to Peter. Would you read it? Go. He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, put it into action. Shepherd my sheep. You see, it's about people. It's not about fish. Shepherd people. Use the gifts that I gave you, Peter, to invest in people. That's that eternal part. You see, if it's just fish, that's something else. It's eternity. That's people. Because in the end, Jesus and people are what will be eternal. And I've given you gifts. Are you bringing anybody, nudging them any closer to heaven during your week? Anybody? Because if you miss that, you'll miss life. And Peter was about to miss life completely and was starting to lose his identity. Again, let me say it. The more of eternity you infuse into your everyday life, the more fulfilled you're going to be, because that's how God created you. Now, I'm not saying being some brash, rabid kind of person that beats people on the head with the Bible. I'm saying, can you infuse that into your life so people are nudged to Christ? And he's given you gifts in order to do that, positions in order to do that, open doors, friendships, relationships. Why? To neglect eternity? No. To figure a way to nudge people a little bit closer. A little closer. Oh, some people come to New Hope and say, oh, I can't use any gifts here. It's too big of a church. Too big, can't get involved. No. If New Hope is too big, what are you going to do when you get to heaven? This is like teeny compared to heaven. You see, this is just a preview. Well, I just want to be in a real small thing over here. Really? Why? Well, because it's convenient and it's nice. And I smile and say, but it ain't about you. See, the kingdom of heaven isn't to make you comfortable in a little subculture that's convenient. It's about laying down your life for the purposes of Christ. So unless you deny yourself and take up your cross, you can't follow him. It ain't about you. One day in heaven, you can sit on a cloud and strum a harp. But down here, baby, we're warriors. We've got eternal gifts that we get to give away. It's about the many, many people out there. And I say to the people, when they say New Hope's too big, I say, you never count the size of a church by how many people are in it. You measure the size of a church by how many are still outside of it. This is a very small church. There's nearly 1 million more people out there. And so we have to understand it's not about us. It's about what God's given to us as gifts so that we can infuse eternity. Oh, some people say, yeah, but I'm not good enough. I mean, my gift is just way too small. And I'm not like, you know, great singer, or I'm not as good looking as Pastor Rod, you know. Let me put your minds at rest. You are. And I'm just kidding.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled, Do You Love Me? By Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Tomorrow, Pastor Wayne will show us what we should refuse to do and what we should start to do when we love. I hope you'll join us. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? A place where passion and creativity thrive in a community pursuing something greater than themselves? That place is New Hope Christian College. For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.